Okay, good morning. This year, as hopefully we all know by now, we're really in the beginning of Bava Kamma. There are three main topics in Maseches Bava Kamma. The first six parakim are one big sugya. Are all about the topic which the Rambam calls Nizkei Mamon. Well, almost all Nizkei Mamon. About my property that damages something, also gets into if I myself damage something, if an Adam damages something, which may or may not be in our Mishnah, as we know, might have seen the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether Mava is a person or Shane. That's the first six about Mazik. The seventh, ninth, and tenth are about Geneva and Gzela, which we're not going to touch on terribly much. And the eighth is about Chovel, a person who injures someone else, not just damages property, which also not going to do that terribly much, although obviously it'll tie in here and there. So we're going to try to get down over the year as many as possible of the Yesodos of the first six Prakim. In terms of how we'll be learning, and we have in the Korah sheets, in Bava Kamma, from the whole Beit Midrash of the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, we only have a Rashba. So the Rashba is very important. We also have Kedusha Ravid, one of the few Masechtos. The Ravid wrote Kedusha on all the Masechtos. One of the few Masechtos, we still have it. So Kedusha Ravid, if you have it, or if you have it in the Kovitz, etc., is also like very basic, and the Meiri is always basic. And then there are a lot of other more obscure Rishonim. Once in a while will be very significant, and of course whoever's in the back of the Gemara. In terms of other Tosafim, we don't have the book Tosas Rush on Bava Kamma, but there are many other Tosafim. There's a Tosaf Bein Peretz, is the main one that's published separately, and the Shidduch Gebetzes collects a lot of different Tosafim fairly thoroughly throughout Bava Kamma. And there's also something which is a little bit obscure, but now that everyone has a Kovitz in the Kovitz, called Tosos Talmud Rabbeinu Tam, or, something along those lines, maybe a little longer. That's also very, very, out of all the sort of left surprise Rishonim, obscure Rishonim, as it were, the most important is definitely Tosos Talmud Rabbeinu Tam, worth looking at whenever possible. Does everyone here have a Kovitz Rishonim or Kovitz Mefarshim or something? If you don't, raise your hand. So maybe I will just email everyone a copy of the Tosos Talmud Rabbeinu Tam. It's also in Bar Ilan. And if there's anything else that people feel they need a copy of, let me know. Okay, let us jump into... Yes?
If anyone wants to get these, they should send me an email.
Okay, yes, very good. Morty volunteers to as soon as I send out the Makoros every half a week, he puts together, for those who don't have all the Sfarim in front of them, all the Makoros, usually on the Makoros sheets. I put the obscure Makoros that there's only one copy or zero copies of in the Beis Medrash. Morty puts together all the Makoros, and it makes preparation easier. Especially if you're not in Beis Medrash, even if you are, perhaps. So if anyone wants it, just email Morty, and he will distribute them to you. So let us jump into the Maseches and try to figure out what's going on here through the first Mishnah. The first shear and a half, we're going to just try to get some Yesodos down, and then we're going to start moving through the Sugyot in the order they come up. But the Mishnah tries to get the Yesodos down. Arba Avos Nezikin, Hashor, Vabor, Vama, Vehever. Okay, the four Avos Nezikin, maybe we got a chance to notice that very soon Rav and Shmuel will argue in the Gemara what a Mava is a Mava a human being, Adam Amazik, in which case Shor means anything done by an animal, or is a Mava Shane. Animal eating, in which case shor means regal and animal walking. So shor, but bor is a bor, and mave and hever is a fire. Lo hare ha shor kare ha mave, the lo hare ha mave kare ha shor. The uniqueness of shor and mave are different. Tosus here, most Rishonim assume, that it means you couldn't learn one from the other. The Torah only said one, you wouldn't have learned the other from it, because Shor has a Chumr that's not a Mave, and Mave has a Chumr that's not a Shor. What those are, the Gemara will explain when we get there. Below Zev says, Yeshim Rechayim, Kari Yeshim Rechayim, and the two of them, Shor and Mave, are alive. Are not like a fire which is not alive. Lo zev zesh are more chomer than a fire which is not alive. Lo zev zesh darker leilcha hazik carry a bor shein darker leilcha hazik. And shor mave and esh, which move and damage things actively, are more chomer than a bor which just passively sort of sits there and something falls into it on its own power. Hatzada shows you what's the common denominator. She darker lehazik. These are all things which are expected to possibly be mazik. You can anticipate the mazik ushmiras and alecha, and you should guard them. And if they are mazik, then the person responsible for that hezik is chayav to pay for the nezik. B'meitav, like it says in the Chumash, with your best land. Okay, all this will be discussed, of course, in the Gemara. What's the controversial part of this Mishnah? Mamoncha, right? When I ask questions, sometimes they really are easy. It's not necessarily a trick question. Mamoncha, right? We're not sure what the girsa of the Mishnah is. Our Mishnah just says, Dark al-Hazik Ushmi Rasan Alecha. And if we just looked at our page, maybe we wouldn't see anything peculiar. But already, if we return to the riff, not that this necessarily. There's more than one girsa in the riff also. Just like more than one girsa in the riff, more than one girsa in the riff. But at least the printed Gemara just says, Darkan lahazik ushmirasan alecha. The printed riff says, Darkan lahazik umamoncha ushmirasan alecha. And
the Oz V'Hadr
doesn't have that. Okay, I said there are different girsos in the riff. I think they're really lunil. It's also one of the obscurations which is published with very nice footnotes, but you know, not as crucial as the ones I mentioned. Says explicitly he doesn't have the girsa in the riff. Okay, there are different girsos. Our printed Rush also has Mamoncha, which is not a very big kiddush because the Rush always copies over the Lashon of the riff and then adds to it. So maybe the riff did or didn't. More significantly, is the Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, because our printed Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Beis says in the end of the third line, Maishna Bor Shekein Tchilas Asiyos LeNezek Umamoncha Ushmirasu Alecha Aninami Tchilas Asiyos LeNezek Umamoncha Ushmirasan Alecha. They're talking specifically about Bor, but it says Mamoncha. It says Mamoncha. So in our printed Girsa, in the Mishnah we don't have Mamoncha, and Daf Gimel and Beis do have Mamoncha, and in our printed Rif we do have Mamoncha. So we're not sure if it's the right Girsa, if it is not the right Girsa. Tosfos is very, very clear that it's not the right Girsa. In two places in Daf Gimel and Beis, Tosfos Rasa Mamoncha says, Lav Davka Gavi Bor Glamonu. So Lavka Bor is not your Mamon, right? If I go to the street and I dig a pit, right? Shoot the Shomekra, simple case. I go to the street and dig a pit. Doesn't belong to me. The street belongs to the rabbit. It's Rosh Hashanah rabbit. Nowadays to the government, the municipality, whoever belongs to it. Doesn't belong to me. And he adds, V'chein gabi esh, d'pshita dim hidlik adish shachaver b'esh al acher d'chayev, and likewise by esh. What do you mean, Mamoncha? It's obvious that if I light your field using someone else's fire, right, I take a coal from Reuven's barbecue and throw it in Shimon's field and burn his crops down. Obviously, I'm chayiv, even though I don't own anything. Right? Interestingly, how does Tosus know that I'm chayiv on Eish, even if I don't own it? Pshita. Pshita is always tricky, because generally, if it's Mefurish and Shas somewhere, you would just quote where it was Mefurish and Shas. Pshita means you don't actually have a raya. But it's so obvious that, you know, you want everyone to believe it anyway. But whenever someone says Pshita, you have to ask yourself, are they saying pshita just because it's so obvious that it'd be embarrassing to quote a mocker? Or are they saying pshita because there actually is no mocker, and what's obvious to one person is not necessarily obvious to someone else, which, as we know from the course, is clearly the case here. Tosfos is the same thing as Avdalah Raman Aleph. The Gemara, if you hold that mave means adam like rav, then it's funny. The Gemara asks in Avdalah Raman Aleph, if the Mishnah, our Mishnah includes an adam, how can you say shmi rasan alecha? What, like, your own guarding is a responsibility of yourself? That's an awkward thing to say. So, Tosus just points out, Mikan Mashal Lugar Signumas Nisunum Amoncha. Right? Tosfos knew there were two Gersos. Midulo Parech Nami Hachi Adam Amonahu. Because they're trying to figure out which words are awkward to refer to a person. So, obviously, there's no word Mamoncha in the Mishnah, because then the Gemara should have pointed out it's very awkward to call a person his own money when he's not his own money, he's himself. And then we're not sure what the rest of the Girsa is, but at least if you take what it says in the side or in the new Gemara's in the corner, Mishum Bor Veish, Nami Tzarech Lamachko Kach Tzarech Lomar. Right, what's he saying? It can't be Mamoncha, Bor is not Mamoncha, Eish is not Mamoncha, Adam's not Mamoncha, it certainly doesn't fit the word. And therefore, Tosos erases Mamoncha. Yes?
If you take the language of Mamoncha and Tosos, Pshita, then it would be Pshita to me that if Mada is a person, that Pshita that he's responsible for everything he does. Why do you need a limud for it?
Tosos is not worried here about Pshita, about something that's so obvious it doesn't need to be said. Tosos is just figuring out if you need to, you know, if you're chayiv when you don't own something or not. It might not bother Tosos that something in the Mishnah is Pshita, or there could be other answers. Okay, Tosos has a clear Pshita. However, the Rashba here on our Mishnah, right, clearly meaning, you know, it doesn't really matter that much what Gers is printed in our Mishnah, or not printed in our Mishnah. Tosos knew there were two Gersos. The Rashba knew there were two Gersos, right, from the time of the Rishon, and there were two Gersos floating around. It's just coincidence what gets printed. But the Rashba in the beginning of the Masechet says, let me just find it. Is this the Rashba? Kiddushi HaRashba, yes. Ubor Zen Nami, hey, so he starts the Gersa, Shadak Malhazak, Umamon Choshmuras Alecha. Ubor Zen Nami, Afagav the Inamamono, Kurile Mamoncha, Nesha Sol, Akasav, Kimamono, Kidamrina, Bezvarin, Mashuso, Vasana Kasav, Yelushus, King Perish Rashi's out. We don't have this Rashi. I'm not sure where he got this. He must have had some alternate Gersa in Rashi. But I necessarily trust that if the Rashba quotes them from Rashi and we don't have it printed in our Rashi, that it's the correct Masor of Rashi. I wouldn't necessarily trust it, but in this case, it seems to match a lot of Rashis. So I'm inclined to accept it wholeheartedly. What does Rashi say? Keep the Gersa Mamoncha. What about Adam? Okay, maybe you can get away. The Rashba later says, the Rishonim say, you can get away with calling an Adam his mamon. After all, he owns himself. What about Eish? Okay, maybe your Eish is your mamon. Maybe you own the fire you live with. What about Bor? So Rashi says, no problem. A Bor also is mamoncha. It's not literally mamoncha. Obviously, I can't sell it. I don't literally own it. But the special Gzeres HaKasav, as we know from Sachim, or this also comes up in Baba Kama on the Mekorashi, there are two things which are not yours, are not in your possession, technical language, and the Torah makes it as if it's yours anyway. One is Chametz on Pesach, which is because it's Asur B'Hanah, or because it's super Asur B'Hanah. You don't own it. You don't possess it. And the Torah makes you Chayim Ha'yir Rabbi Yimatzeh anyway. And number two is Bor B'Shul Rabbim, so it's a special Gzeres HaKasav, that even though it's not your Mamon, it's like it is your Mamon. The Torah gives it to you as your Mamon for this purpose. In which case, we could keep him mamoncha. So says Rashi. The Rashi himself is not so convinced. He brings the same raya as Tosos. Okay, the Rashi himself is not so convinced. He says, still, like, you could say that, that's cute, but I wouldn't have gone so far as to call it mamoncha. And he likes Tosos' girsa. But Rashi is clearly quoted as having the girsa of Mamoncha. Okay, the Meir also quotes to Gersos. He's the other Rishon who discusses it explicitly. Now, is there really a machlokas between them, or is it just a machlokas in Gersa? So clearly, if you look in Rashi and Tosos throughout the Masechet, you discover that there's a fundamental machlokas Rashi and Tosos here, not just about, you know, if it was just a matter of Gersa, I could say they really all agree lahalacha. You know, they really agree it is mamoncha. They really agree it's not mamoncha. They're just, you know, throwing in a flowery word. But, I mean, not that we prefer to say that, but here, clearly, they're arguing fundamentally in lamdas, because, just take Tosa's example. Tosa starts with Eish, right? It's obvious that the chiyav of Eish is whether I own it or not. It has nothing to do with mamoncha, but that actually is a machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Rashi does seem a little radical here. But there's a machlokas, which I'll have to get to, in Daf Chaf Beis through Daf Chaf Gimel between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, whether Isha Mishum Amona or Isha Mishum Chitza. Or in the end, we decide that everyone agrees Isha Yerchayev for Nizke Mamon of Eish. They argue whether it's also considered your direct Maaseh. Okay, let's forget for now about Rabbi Yochanan, who says there's a Mitzvetim, there's another din of Eish of Mishum Chitza. Right, Agav, one of the things that would make me very happy is if everyone in the space of Andrish, could say Isha Mishum Chitzav instead of the more common Isha Mishum Chetzio, because Chetzio is half of you, and it's not only half of you that lit the fire. I know, maybe it's the Eitzahara half of you, but maybe it is Amkus, but at the very least on the Pshat level, Isha Mishum Chitzav, meaning it is your arrows. Let's forget about Rabbi Yochanan, who says Isha Mishum Chitzav. He says, if I light a fire, it's like I shot an arrow. It's my maaseh myself. Right? If I burn your crops down, it's like I personally took each stalk of wheat and destroyed it. And it had nothing to do with shor and boar and etc. Let us forget that for now. Let's stick with Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says, Isha Mishum Mamono, that the chiv of Eish is because it's Mamono, because it's Niske Mamon, because something you own was Mazik. So what does that mean? That sounds like it has to do with ownership, with Mamoncha. Says Rashi here, Mishum Mamono, Kishoro Ubor Shiziko. Eish is just something you, it's an object, it's not you. Right? That's Machlokas, where Yochanan thinks when you light a fire, you're doing it. Rish Lakish thinks the object is doing it. Okay, and Kasalka Daitach, and in the end, if you look at the Rashi's in brackets, that's not, this part is Omeid Lamaskana, right? We changed some of the details to Maskana, but Rashi still thinks Lamaskana. Isha Mishum Mamono means you're only Chayiv if you own it. If you don't own it, you're Potter. Tos says, Pshita, if I burn down Reuben's house with Shimon's coal, that I am Chayiv, which I think intuitively is probably what we would have thought also. It seems fair to us. But Rashi says, no, if I burn down Reuven's house with Shimon's coal, according to Rish Lakish, I am Taka Potter. We don't pass like Rish Lakish, so Lamaisi Yerchayev.
But I thought, hey, if you say that everyone holds that it's Mishum Mamono, then Rashi would say that even if Yochanan holds that, it's only if it's yours.
No, because it's Sveidin, even if it's not yours, Yerchayev Mishum Chitzav. Except in a strange case we call Lochitza, which we're not getting into now. Okay, so the Rashi says, Eish is like shor and bor. In what way is Eish like shor and bor? You're only chayiv if you own it, not if someone else owns it. So Rashi is very clear that you're only chayiv for shor, bor, and Eish if you own it, not if someone else owns it. Oh, what about a bor b'shus rabim? Okay, that's keili, you own it, special xeris agasa. Tosazir jumps all over. Rashi is very upset. Isha Mishum Amono, Kolomar Chiyav Amono Yeshbo, Velo Sheyesh Shalom. What it means is, it's like an object that damages, not a person that damages. It doesn't mean it depends if you own it or not. Da'afilo Hitlik Be'eshal Acher Chayav, K'da Ashkan Perkach Koneis, B'kofka Moshach Haver B'fnei Adleiko, Mati Baruch Tzuya, B'gavigeichi Yotz Mitach Zapatish, Avagav Nustar Mafker. So, Tosis brings, well, three. He brings two rayas, that you're Chayav even if you light with someone else's fire. One is, if I take someone else's wheat and crops, and I put them in front of a fire, I'm chayev, even though it's not my fire. Okay, that's not necessarily a good raya, because there I actually touch the crops, so maybe I'm chayev, not because of ish, maybe I'm chayev because of adam mazik for putting the crops in the way of the fire. So that's not such a raya b'chachas. The second raya is, if I'm a smith is banging and a spark goes out and burns me, is chayiv. Mestama, the spark is hefker. Who said mestama, the spark is hefker? Maybe the spark is not hefker. At the very least, it didn't start out hefker. So it's violous. And number three, he says, also, because then it's ridiculous. People would take advantage. Everyone would just say, you know, I'm mafker my coals and then burn down someone's house with it and be putter. Okay. You could say, and I'm not getting into this now, the sugya daf chav tes, I mean, it's a lot, the nature of an introductory sugya, there's a lot of things I can't get into, that it might be considered mine as long as it was mine and then it was mafker, as long as it was mine once. But Tosel will just say, I'll just take Reuven's coal and light Shimon's. Okay, so either you have to find some way of saying you'll never get away with that. If it was mine and I'm mafker it, it's still considered mine. If it was someone else's and I pick it up, I'm a Goslin, and the Goslin has a Kenyan and still considered mine, maybe you could somehow find a way out of this. Or you could say, in Chanami, according to Rish Lakish, this ridiculous thing would be true. And we don't pass like Rish Lakish. We have psukim against Rish Lakish. So maybe it's not the end of the world if you think something crazy. Okay, Benetikis, Lokavirsha, Crunchavirsha, Igabinari, Da'adlik, Bechelish, Eino, Shelo. So let's just see what's going on here. Here we have the idea of what we call Nizki Mamon. That's the Rambam's phrase, Hilchos Nizki Mamon, right? Shor, Bor, and Eish. So are you, here we have a very practical machlokas, right? Are you chayav only because you own it? Or are you chayav even if you don't own it, right? Of course, even if you don't own it, why are you chayav? What does the Mishnah say? Because even without mamoncha, shmiras alecha, right? Because shmiras alecha. Now, of course, you're going to have to do some hard work. Shmiras is on who? If you're only chayiv, you own it, then the owner is chayiv. If you're chayiv because you should have guarded it, who should have guarded it? I should guard every dog in Yerushalayim that it doesn't mazik? Obviously not. If my neighbor has a fire, I should guard it? Obviously not. So you have to say, anyone who's connected to it should guard it, and then you have to get into the details of every case and figure out when you're closely enough connected to guard it, and when you're not closely enough connected to have to guard it. But, you know, we have to have some set of rules, algorithm, we're saying, when you, maybe you had some physical contact with it, then you're chayiv to guard it, maybe you caused it to exist, you're chayiv to guard it, as opposed to a stranger, who's obviously not. And the first we have the issue of the girsa, and here we have Rashi, at least put in the Rashba, umamoncha. And here we have Tosfos, who does not have, who isn't Goris umamoncha, right? Who knows there's such a girsa, and fundamentally denies it. And this is actually Machlokes Nachlamaisa. Where do we see this Machlokes Nachlamaisa? Nafkamina 1 is Eish. Again, here, I know it's complicated, not the Manda Reishim Shem Chitzav. Eish, Lefi, Reish Lakish, that is just like Shor and Bar. Right? Eish, Lefi, Reish Lakish, Rashi says, so what if you are, let's say this better, Madlik, Bigacheles, She'eno Shalo, Lefi Reish Lakish, Rashi Lishitase says Pater. Tosos Lishitase says Chayiv, thinks it's obvious you're Chayiv. Here already, he realizes that it's not so. You know, Daf Gimel Beis says obvious, and, you know, oh, by Daf Beis, he can't just say obvious because he knows Rashi disagrees, so he has to start bringing proofs. His proofs are not Mokrach, in my humble opinion. I mean, obviously they're not Mokrach because Rashi disagrees. So here's where I apologize that, you know, I'm sort of going to get into things and not follow them through. That I put in brackets the last two Rashis on the sugya, because to show you that the kasat the daita doesn't mean that this point changes the maskana. It means that some other deal changes the maskana, but even the maskana, he's very clear. For example, one second. Yeah. V'ha'ahua denami de'ikabeinayu kal hanin yil'el kele v'gomol d'manu m'shem chitzav chayitav amonu afgil chitzav chitzav agam amonu islay mandar le d'les le chitzav pater elam kemisach seches kido kimna le'el. The nafkamina is that if my camel made someone else's fire spread, and my dog made someone else's fire spread, I'm potter, according to Reish Lakish. And Rashi on Daf Chabezim and Aleph says, because I don't own the fire. So it seems clear that even Maskana, if I don't own the fire, I am potter, unless it's something called Masach Seches, except for the direct part that I touched. So even Maskana, I know it says because I'm the Daita, but even Maskana, the Yisod remains, if you read through the whole Sugya with Rashi, I think that would be clear. Okay, that is in terms of Eish. When it comes to Bor, when it comes to Bor as well, this is the fundamental question when it comes to Bor. right, we clearly see there are shitas that follow Rashi. So, for example, if we look on Daf Mem Tesmet Beis and Nun Mem Aleph, there's a machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel about whether the Torah is talking about a boar in the Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYachid. And the machlok is Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, what are they arguing about? So according to Rabba, everyone agrees a boar of Rishus HaRabim is chayiv. If I dig it in the street, of course I'm chayiv. What kind of idiot am I? But according to Rabbi Yosef, they're arguing about boar of Rishus HaRabim. And they're arguing about boar of Rishus HaRabim and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva patters a boar b'shus harabim. Why? The bar disli bailam askina. Because you don't own it. Right? So Rabbi Akiva taka. Now this sounds crazy. I dig a pit in my property, I'm chayiv. But even though maybe you shouldn't have been in my property. Okay, maybe only for the butts versus Rabbi, but still. I dig a pit in the middle of the street. Mamish lifne ivr lusite mechshol pshuto shel mikra. And someone, an ox falls into it, very understandably, and all of a sudden I'm putter according to Rabbi Akiva, right? It doesn't seem very intuitive. It sounds like one of these things that Tosos would say, like, pshita, like, how can that be? Like, how can we let someone get away with digging a pit in the street and killing people's animals and not punish them? The answer is very clear. Now, this is not necessarily Rabbi Akiva. This is only Rabbi Akiva according to Rabbi Yosef. Only Rabbi Akiva according to Rabbi Yosef, just to be clear, bor. There's just a rabbin, if here is Rabbi Akiva, and here is Rabbi Yishmael, and here is Rabba, and here is Rabbi Yosef. Rabba says, everyone thinks it's chayiv, don't be ridiculous. And Rabbi Yosef thinks it's a machlokes tanaim. But still, Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Yosef, holds bor b'shusharabim as pater. Why? Very clear. This says, Baal ha-bor yishalem, and there's no owner. Clearly, I'm responsible. Clearly, Shmi Brasan Alecha, Ki Yiftach Ish Bor, Ki Yichre Ish Bor, Lo Yichasem. I dug it, or I opened it, and I didn't cover it. Sounds like a great Shmi Brasan Alecha, but I don't own it, so I am Pater. So I think clearly, Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Yosef, is on Rashi's side here, right? Bor. So here we have Rabbi Akiva. Lefi Rav Yosef, he says, Bor Birshus Harabim is Pater, even though obviously I'm much worse for putting a Bor Birshus Harabim than if I put a Bor Birshus Hayachid. I've been much more negligent, I've been much more irresponsible, but I'm Pater because you're only Chayiv on what you own. You're not Chayiv on things you don't own, no matter how terrible of a person you are. I'm not saying it's much of a Chachila. I'm not saying we're going to be Mafter Yonah. I'm not saying Hashem is pleased with you. But you can't be sued in court because it's not Mamoncha.
What?
It could be Xeris Augustus by Bor. But keep in mind, what's Xeris? It says Baal HaBor Yishalem. Okay, keep in mind, it says Baal HaBor Yishalem. It also says one second. Okay, the Lashon of Baal is taka only by boar and ashur that killed someone. So you could say Baal HaBor Yishalem is only if there's a bailim. But intuitively, I think, no. It's obvious the other things have a bailim because they're actual things, right? A boar, which they're not. They're things of yours that go into the street. So obviously that has a bailim. The Torah is mechadish, even the boar, you're only chayiv if it has a bailim. Now, of course, we don't paskin like that. Pashut, we paskin like Rabbi Yishmael, or according to Rabbah, like everyone, that Bor B'shus HaRabim is chayiv, right? Don't try any of these funny sheets at home, number one, because they're all asur l'chachila, at the very least, maybe midoraisa, and number two, because we don't paskin like them, and you'll be chayiv to pay in court. The question is, what about Rabbi Yishmael, who says Bor B'shus HaRabim is chayiv? And this is exactly where you could take it two ways, right? You could take it the Tosos way, that Nicha, because you're Chayiv, even if you don't own something. Yeah, Rabbi Akiva had a funny Shita. And only according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Akiva had that Shita. We're not even sure if he had that Shita. But we, Paskin, don't be ridiculous. Shmiras Alecha, if you dug it, then it's Shmiras Alecha. Of course, you're chayev whether it's yours or not. But it's not so pasha, because what did the Rashba quote from Rashi that we started with? You could say that the Rashi, Yesh Lomar, De'asan HaKasov, Ki'ilu Hirshu. So, that the Gemara says in two places, right, in Pesachim and in Bamakam, I'm not reading inside, there are two things for make you liver shuso, and this is quoted in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. Why is it quoted in the name of Rabbi Shmuel? Because this very Shmuel Shita, that Bar Shirat Meschayiv, right? Everyone agrees very Shmuel holds that. So, the real question is, and this is the classic Chakira, the Kif Chakira, or same for Kikilu Chakira, what does it mean the Gemara says Asawa Kas Kikilu Bar Shuso. What does Aso Kikilu Bar Shuso mean? For Tosfos, right, whenever it says ki'ilu, does ki'ilu means mamish like the same thing or just similar? So for Tosos, ki'ilu means similar. Just like if you own something, you're responsible to guard it. If you dig something, you're responsible to guard it. It doesn't mean the Torah gives you bailus. It just means that it's similar to owning. Because what you own, you should watch, and what you dig, you should guard.
Isn't that Tosos Cholek on the Tosos Msaki, which holds that the Hefker is Mo'il? Because you have
it in
there,
but first of all, you don't have to equate them, and even that toast is not so posh, but I hear you're tying them, I'm going to leave that a little bit of tzarkiyah, especially since, we're not all holding them solid now, but I hear you're tying loud and clear. What I'm saying is that for toast, the ki'ilu is a vague comparison. There are two things that you don't own, but are similar to things you do own in some reason. A bor in Rishon Rab, you don't own, but you should guard it, just like things you do own. And chametz on Pesach, you don't own, but you should get it out of your house, just like things you do own. Rashi might take it more literally. No, there are two things that it's a special magic zeris akasov, that the Torah considers you the owner for a certain purpose. Chametz on Pesach, you're the owner for the purpose of Bal Yerav Bal Yimatzeh, and Bor B'Shizah Rav, you're the owner for the purpose of Nizikin. So the question is the Ki'ilu just a Doma or a Mamish? Rashi would say, no, you really need Mamoncha. And here it's Mamish Ki'ilu B'Shuso. Tosfos would say, no, it's similar to things that are B'Shuso. This also comes up, now this is a very fundamental question, and obviously when we get to Bor a little more, this can come out much more than in every other case, because Bor, a standard Bor is versus a Rabin, maybe the standard Bor in the Torah is versus a Rabin, and you obviously are facing the problem, it's not your mamon. This also comes up in a sugya which we're not going to fully get into now, I just want to mention, the famous Machlotzin Rav and Shmuel, which is also, again, some of these things might be a little counterintuitive to us, but that's exactly the point. Right, meaning this is counterintuitive. This is a machlokes. If you dig a pit in the street, if you're responsible, crazy. Of course, you're responsible. The answer is no. Maybe you're only responsible if you own something. And then we have the same thing in Rav and Shmuel. Rav says a strange shita bor shechiva lavator lahavalo velo lachavato. Okay, we'll get more into the science later. There's a famous chazanish about it, Bli Neder. But you're not. If I dig a pit in the street, then it's clear in the Gemara later on that if I dig a pit in my property, I'm responsible for everything, because it's mine. But if I dig a pit in the street, I'm not responsible if an animal falls in and dies because of the impact of hitting the bottom of the bore, which is what we'd all have thought. I'm only responsible if it dies because of the hevel, because of the hot, stale air in the bore asphyxiates it. Okay, without getting into, again, there's a lot of science here, because it is true, by the way, that we're not getting into it. When we do get into it, you should know it is true that you can die from falling into a bore because of the air. The tricky part is that in modern science, we don't view it as a thing in the bore that kills you, but there's just a lack of oxygen to breathe. When people fall into a bore, they can die if it's a deep bore. So the question is, is Chazal mean lack of oxygen? And just in those days, if you remember, I forget the word for it, in this old science, they used to think that it wasn't that you need oxygen to breathe, there's just something else that chokes you. Or they refer to actual heat, and somehow the heat does it, the hot air does it. We'll get to that. Anyway, the Maisa says, Rav, You're not chayav for something that has an impact on the bottom of the bor. You're only chayav for the hot air that collects there. Why? Because you own the hot air that you created there. But the bor is just the ground. How can you own the ground? And Shmuel says you're chayav either way, and we pass him like Shmuel. So here we have another exact same thing. Right? What about Rav? Says Rav. Let's just take Rav here. Rav says Chayav. What's his lashon? Lahavolo v'lo lachavato. V'lo lachavato. And the continuation of the sugya, it's very clear. The Gemara says, if it's a bor on my property, then I'm chayav chibur, meaning even for the impact, because it's my ground, it's my karka. But on the street, it's not my land, so I'm not chayav for the impact, but it's my air. Now again, what makes it my air? Can I sell that air? I assume what Rav is saying is that I have to have mamoncha. I'm only chayav what I own damages. The Torah is mechadesh, if I dig in the street, I own it. But I can't own the land. The Torah is mechadesh that I own the hevel that I create. And that's what Rav is saying. Rav is mefurish like Rashi. Why? Because I don't own the karka, but as if I do own the heifer. Right? I have to, something that I own has to damage. Okay, you can't say I dig a pit, I own all the ground under that pit. Nah. But I own the hevel that's collected in that pit. Or at least the Torah makes it as if I own the hevel collected in that pit. That's Rav. We paskin like Shmuel. The question becomes, what does Shmuel say? Shmuel says, Adrabah. Shmuel says, don't be crazy. You're chayav for the damage created by the hot air and the bor. And for sure you're chayav for the impact of hitting the bor. That's the normal case of bor. Right? Lahavolo v'kolshkin lahavoto. Right, so he says chayav lahavolo v'kol shekein lachavoto. Of course, I'm chayav for the impact on the bottom of the bor. Oh, I don't own the bottom of the bor. So I think for Shmuel, you could go the same two ways, right? Shmuel, you could say nicha. Ah, supposed to say we hold like Shmuel. Don't give me Rav's. We hold like Shmuel. I'm chayav if an axe trips and has impact when it hits the bottom of the bor. I'm chayav for that. Oh, I don't own the bottom of the bor. It doesn't matter. I'm responsible.
Tosfos in a number of places that even Shmuel agrees with the idea of karkola. And even according to Tosfos, even according to Shmuel, you're starting to be the Baal floor in some way. Tosfos says that Shmuel is moded that if you trip, let's say on a rock, and you land on the floor, you're nothing. You have to land on the rock itself. Basically, Tosfos says that even Shmuel says you have to be the
Baal. Okay, so I have an answer to that, but I'm not going to get into that now. Of course, the other option is, just to go back, Rashi would also work well with Shmuel. What's Rashi going to say? Rashi's going to say, Asa'o hakosov lekarka olam ki'ilu birshu. So Rav, I think, is like Rabbi Akiva Lefi Rav Yosef. Rav is clearly saying, I'm only chayim something I own damages, not something I don't own. And he's willing to give me ownership over the hot air that I collected in that bor, because there was no such hot air, and then I made the bor, and all of a sudden created that hot air, so maybe so I created the hot air, it's like I own it. I mean, I can't sell it, but it's like I own it. But the ground, he's not willing to give me ownership over, so I'm potter. Shmuel could go both ways. He could say, who cares if you own it or not? If it's your fault, and you should have guarded it, and you didn't guard it, you're high, it's also. Or he could say, no, remember Asana Kasuf? That even though it's just ground, it's just a land, you know, 20 feet down under Shizravim, the Torah gives me ownership of it. So we still, according to both machlokes, one side we don't paskin like, is clearly going with Rashi. One side we do paskin like is still open. I think where we do see this machlokes, and I apologize, I forgot to put this on the Makoros, is a machlokes being Rashi and Tosin daf Yotesam based by the somewhat confusing sugya of Delil, if the Gerus is even Delil. Delil, Deli, something. Basically a chicken gets something with a string wrapped around its foot, and somehow that creates some sort of damage. And the Gemara has a whole discussion, which we're not getting into yet, as to the rules of that. But there's one line, if you look at on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, at the in the fifth to last skinny line, Itmar, Dlil Hefker. If there's a Dlil Hefker, there's a Hefker thing. Amar Rav Huna Nikshmei Lo Pater. And it on its own gets tied to my chicken, and my chicken carries it around, and something bad happens, then I am, no, everyone's potter. You can't blame the owner of the Dalil, because there is no owner of the Dalil. You can't blame the owner of the chicken, because it's not his fault. And therefore, everyone's potter. Fine. But kosher adam chayev, if I tie a hefker Dalil to someone's chicken, the owner of the chicken is not chayev. What do you mean? His chicken wasn't doing anything wrong. I'm chayev for tying it to the chicken. Mishum my chayev, why am I chayev? I'm Ravuna Bar Noach, Mishum Borum, Galaga, Bragla, Bragla, Behema, that'll come up. Relatively soon in our Gemara, the end of our very long sugya. This is a boar that gets kicked around by people. Basically, a boar doesn't have to be a pit. Let's say I leave a rock in the street and someone trips on it, that's also a boar. And let's say I leave a rock in the street and someone kicks it, and an animal kicks it, and then someone trips on it, that's also my boar. So therefore, that's why I'm chayiv. So, says the Gemara, the lil hefker that I tie to a chicken, I'm chayiv mishum bor. Says Rashi, kosher adam chayiv, the third Rashi before the Mishnah, chayiv hakosher, the person who tied it is chayiv, the kanye bagba, because he obviously picked it up in order to tie it. He was kone bagba, yesh lo haigil bailam, and has bailam. Says Rashi, Rashi's very clear, halach l'maisa, right? We're not in a standard digging a pit. We're not necessarily going to be able to find our nafkamina in a standard digging a pit. Because we just got through saying how we possibly. We possibly are chayav on a pit of Rosh Hashanah. We possibly are chayav whether the damage is created by the hot air in the pit or the impact of the bottom of the pit. And Tosus will say, because even though you don't own it, you're chayav, Rashi will say, if you do own it, special tears are also for Balabor. But what about something that's not a pit? What about a dlil? Right? So am I chayav if I just take an object that's not mine, a hefker object, and put it in the street? Says Rashi, yes, I'm chayiv, but you know why? Because I bought, I own it. Rashi's very clear that I'm only chayiv if I own something. Says Tosus here, l'shitasam, kosher adam chayiv, I think it's this one, yeah. L'adav v'kosher duhudim ha'yiv makam ha'motzu v'nichav makam ha'torfa shepashavo, right? Even if I don't tie it, as long as it was someplace safe and I put it in the middle of the street. Even if I didn't do it, I didn't do a Kenyan. The local shvir is the contrast, the kanye bagbok shakasho. Unlike Rashi, the yesh lahigdul bailem, the chol takala shenich v'sharab mechayim b'mishum bor. Any takala I put in v'sharab mechayim mishum bor. Afgav v'lo zochav, even though I didn't own it. The ad kan lo pli yirav shmuel over v'lo afgri, but the afgri v'in yirav ayin shmuel, hai nu bor. Because everyone agrees that if I'm mafgir my object v'sharabim, that is a bor. Okay, again, this is not necessarily such a good raya in Tosos, because Tosos keeps bringing rayas from things that I owned and then was mafgir. That could be more common than something I never owned. But here we have a machlokas, and here we have a more serious machlokas, Rashi Tosos. So continuing, here we have Rashi. And here we have Tosos. Two. Continued. What about someone who puts a Dalil or anything else, Hefker, Birshus Arabim. Rashi says, I'm Chayav only if he was Kona. Only if he is Kona, he's Chayav. While Tosus thinks, Chayav even if he wasn't Kona. Now I understand, they're not arguing about the case of Gemara. The case of Gemara is Chayav. But their argument about the Okit, the Rashi says, it's Chayav when I bought. If there hadn't been, I bought, you'd be Potter. And that's why Rashi says, only Kshira, tying. You know, to tie something, you have to pick it up. It's very hard to tie things without picking it up, so you did Hagbah. But let's say you didn't do Hagbah. Let's say there was a stone, you know, which was safely on the side in a yard, in a junkyard, on the side of the Rosh Hashanah, and I kicked it into the street where someone would trip over it. But I didn't do a Hagbah. Right? I kicked it rolling on the ground, so it wouldn't go up. I didn't do a Hagbah. So Rashi would say, I'm Potter. And Tosu would say, no, what are you talking about? You put him in Rosh Hashanah, of course you're Chayav. Right? So this is Rashi and Tosu. L'shitasa means clearly, L'shitasa min Eish, L'shitasa min Bor. I know all these things, it's more intuitive to us to be more machber, like Tosfos. It seems more fair to us, but Rashi nonetheless thinks that it's only Mamoncha.
Wouldn't Hagbah still need Das to be Kona?
So perhaps, meaning maybe you could say another nafkamina is if he had, at least let's say he had explicit das not to be kohen, right? Let's say that one. That might also be nafkamina, we'll see in a second.
Yeah, Rebbe keeps saying there might be a difference between hefker if it was originally yiras, but if that's true, then machlokas and Rav and Shmuel is in that case. So then, meaning if we're saying that Tosis is raya isn't a good raya, then meaning the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel think that there's a difference.
Tos is saying here that Rav and Shmuel, Tos is saying they both agree you're chayiv when you mafker yourself. Although
and he's using that now as a raya against Rav Shmuel.
Right.
But the Rebbe said that hefker might really be considered your own. But then how does Rav and Shmuel, then why would even Rav be moda in that case that it's different than?
Oh, I don't mean consider your own for all purposes. I mean, at least consider your own for some purposes. I apologize. Okay, and we see this. This comes up also, by the way. I'll just point out this interesting Yerushalmi. Once we're on the topic of Bor, it's fascinating, especially sometimes, to see what happens with the same thing, in the same Breiser, the same Machlokas, Amoraim, in Yerushalmi, and in Bavli. The Yerushalmi also has a Masorah that Rav and Shmuel argue about Havalu and Chavato, but the Yerushalmi says that they were arguing as to whether you're chayav for Hevel. Obviously you're chayav for Hevel. That's like the regular case of Bor. The Yerushalmi, also the Yerushalmi and Bavli, both of this Breisa. One guy dug a Bor, and the other one was Siado v'Chiro. Okay, we remember those things that are us or 9 days. He plastered it or decorated it, painted it, designs on it. The second guy is Chayef. Okay, the Bavli is that Bryce we're not getting to that. So you now it assumes it's because the second guy made it narrower and increased the hot air in the Hevel. Okay, so then it's just a question of, you know, making more Hevel. The Yerushalmi takes it totally differently. And the Yerushalmi here has... Why is the second guy be chayev? Just because he painted the bor or plastered the bor. Like, that doesn't make it any more dangerous. Shalmi doesn't think that, it makes it more dangerous because it makes the more stuffy. So rather, we know there's such a thing as a kinyan chazaka, karak is nicknamed the keser star chazaka. And Kesef, we know it's Kesef, Shtar, Shtar. What is Chazaka? So, without getting the details, it is if the owner says, the seller says to the buyer, or the giver says to the recipient, go make some improvement to the land and be koneh with that through Chazaka. Okay. Or something along those lines, if any of you ask. Let's do it, Masechet now. So the Rishalmi says, what's the case of the guy who painted the boar? Being Chayev. If the first guy said to him, go paint this boar and take it over. Go, you can have my boar. Just paint. And he says, but how do you know I'm really giving you the boar? Because they'll paint the boar and do a Kenyan Chazaka on the boar. Now again, what do you mean you do a Kenyan Chazaka on the boar is a little funny. It's a boar versus a rabbit. No one really owns the boar, but says the Rishami, Shmiras Nezikin, Shmiras Kenyan. What does it mean? Meaning to transfer responsibility for the Nezek, you have to do a Maisa Kinyan. Right? If I just say, you want to do whatever you want to my boar, you know, whatever, but don't be Kona, then the guy's not necessarily responsible. Only if he does a Maisa Kinyan do I transfer responsibility for this boar versus Rabbin. The Yerushalmi really seems to be very serious that boar versus Rabbin is a kind of ownership. I saw it because of Gil Rishus, so it's like I own the boar. I know I don't actually own the boar. I can't sell the versus Rabbin. It's like I own the boar, so how can I transfer it to you and make you responsible instead? You have to do a Maisa Kinyan, and you as if you own the boar. I can sell that Ke'ilu Bershuso. So the Yerushalmi definitely seems to take this Ke'ilu Bershuso as a more of a mamish. We'll put this Yerushalmi here, and that'll help us for the next sugya. Right, the Yerushalmi, why do I say the Yerushalmi takes the Ke'ilu Bershuso as more of a mamish? Because the Yerushalmi says, I need to mamish transfer the boar to you in order to transfer responsibility. The Shmiras Nezikin, Kishmiras Kinyan, whoever's responsible for something is over his kone. It really does seem to be on the side of Mamono. I wouldn't make a big deal of that alone, but if I'll add another Yerushalmi, then it might make a start, at least, to make a pattern. And now we'll just point out that this also, we have Aish and Bor. How about Shor? Right? How about Shor? Right? So Shor seems to be the most clear one, as opposed to Aish and Bor.
start out sounding very Tosfos like. Bor, you know, no one really owns, and an H, like, who cares who owns it? That shouldn't be relevant. Well, Rashi denies that.
Sure, Lachor, you own the shore. What if you do not own the shore? So this comes up in two places. Number one, in... it's going to be a little tricky, and maybe we won't solve everything right now. What if... I don't own the shore. Can I be responsible for shore I don't own? Now, here it's going to be a little trickier. Why should I be responsible for shore I don't own? Like, I understand that tzad to say Tosfos, I'm responsible for bor I don't own if I dug the bor. I'm responsible for ash I don't own if I took the fire and burned something with it. Why should I be responsible for shore I don't own? If you have an ox, you should be responsible, not me. So we have two possible cases. One is, if you look in Nvav and Beis, at Tosfos Mesla Mamed Behemus Chaviro Kamas Chaviro Chayim, if I take your animal... And basically, I take Reuben's animal and I lead it to Shimon's crops, and it eats Shimon's crops, right? The or you know whatever similar thing, right? Shimon has crops. I just take Reuben's whole flock of animals and have them graze Shimon's crops. So I'm chayev. Why am I chayev? That's a big machlokus. Tosfos holds, not necessarily the majority opinion. Even though it's not my animal, I'm still chayiv. Mitam shame for regal. I'm chayiv for shame. Or a regal, if it steps on it or eats it. Davga, this is be'iro. Why should I be chayiv? It says, Shalach is be'iro, his animal. It's not my animal. I don't own it. No, can you dey chashiv ahovu asa? No, it's like mine because I did it. It's my fault. I created the situation. Like Tosfos been assuming Dav Gimel and Dav Chaf Beis. If I light your crops with Reuben's crops with Shimon's fire, of course I'm chayiv. So too, if I destroy Shimon's crops with Reuben's animal, I am chayiv. So Tosfos thinks, right, when it comes to the case of a shor, what if you have Mamid Behemas Chaveiro Al Kamas Chaveiro? Tosfos says that chayav mishum shein v'regel, right? Basically, you could say I'm chayav for like dina degarmi or some other thing. I'm chayav also adam amazik, and then do an end run around this day. This has nothing to do with our Mishnah. This is a different case, which is what other Mishnahim say. The Rashba and others and the Ravid for their own reasons. But Tosfos chayav mishum shein v'regel afal pi. She'ein ha-behema sheli, or shelo, what's his loshon? Because, hold the huasa. Right? That works well for Tosos l'shitase. That works well for Tosos l'shitase. That works well for Tosos l'shitase. That you're chayiv, even though you don't own it, because hold the huasa. Rashi might sound a little different. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "He kisha b'makel umraslan b'ha'hu d'mam medum shemhachi mechayim." At least in the maskana of the Gemara, only if you hit it with a stick, only if you hit the animal with a stick and led and or pulled it with a leash and led it to someone else's crops. Why? But listen, on the Kishuan, likewise, we'll get to a second, robbers who take an animal are only fitted with a stick. What's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that it's talking about where I hit it with a stick, because hitting it with a stick is Mishicha. That's okay. We learn about Basra, Kiddushin, wherever we discuss Mishicha more. Hitting it with a stick does count as Mishicha. Of course, what's the point of Mishicha? Why is Rashi bringing Mishicha? Mishicha is a Kenyan, right? Apparently, what is Rashi very concerned with here? That Tosfos does not say anywhere on this staff. Rashi's very concerned with how can I be chayiv for an animal that's not mine, right? So at the very least, in the maskana of the Gemara, Rashi says, "What do you mean it's not mine? It is mine. Kikisha b'mani. Well, I hit it with the stick. If I hit it with the stick, that's a kenyan. Now a kenyan doesn't mean it's mine legamre, right? Maybe it means it's mine as a goslin, right? But a goslin also has a bailus over something." Right, there's something called kinyanic zela. We assume a goslin has a certain degree of bailus. So obviously, it doesn't mean it's mine. If I hit Reuben's animal and make it go eat Shimon's crops, I don't get to keep Reuben's animal. If I'm a goslin of Reuben's animal, so I have a kinyan of a goslin of Reuben's animal, and through Mashicha. But Rashi is very concerned, right? So, Tosfos,
Lishitasam. And Rashi, I mean, this is very clear, Rashi does Lishitasam throughout the whole Masechet. Rashi, at least Lamaskana Sasugya, right? In the Havim, the Sugya, there is room to be choker what he held. But at least Lamaskana Sasugya says, no, I'm only Chayav because he did a Kenyan Meshicha. Only Chayav because he did a Kenyan Meshicha, Lishitase. And this also could come up in the case of Hotsi Olistim. The Mishnah says that if robbers, if I have a barn, right, Konis, if I have a barn and I lock my animal in the barn, and somehow they get out through an unexpected, unforeseen circumstance, then I'm not responsible because I guard. That's not my fault. What if Listim, if robbers took it out, then the robbers are responsible. Says the Rishalmi, when are the robbers responsible for taking it out? Only if they took it out al manas legozla, but not al manas leabda. If the robbers took it out intending to steal it, then they're responsible for any damage it does, right? The robbers took my ox out of the barn. They broke the lock, opened the barn, took out my ox, intending to steal it. If my ox damaged anything, the robbers are responsible. But if they took it out intending to let it get lost, meaning if they were there to steal, if they were cattle rustlers, right, and they were there to steal my ox, they steal my ox, then they're responsible if my ox eats anything or steps on anything or gores anything or whatever. Let's say they're not cattle rustlers. They're not looking to steal my ox. They break into my property because they're looking to steal something else. They're looking to steal my tools. They're looking to steal my tools. But what do? They say, this ox is like in the way. They say, ox, get out of here, just go get lost, we don't want you anymore, right? Then, if the ox damaged anything, they're potter. Now here it is, but you're not chayav for grama, right? Meaning grama, mezikin, potter. They might be chayav deshamayim, okay, but they're listim, so they might not care so much. That's the least of their problems. So this Yerushalmi works very well. This Yerushalmi works very well for the derech of Rashi. Rashi says the listim are only chayav because they did meshicha. This Yerushalmi works very well for Rashi, and that's why I think the Yerushalmi is generally goes in the direction of Rashi. I like Yerushalmi going in the direction of Rashi. The Yerushalmi says, why? What's the difference between Hotziyu L'Gazla and Hotziyu L'Avda? Because Gzela is like a Kenyan, right? A Gazlan is Kona for many purposes. So therefore, Gzela is a Kenyan. Ah, Kenyan already called him a Mamoncha, right? Now again, obviously we don't mean Mamashi Kenyan. If I steal something, it doesn't mean I can keep it Stam. But we've discussed this many times in the past few years. But if I steal something, I do have some degree of kinyan over it. After all, the owner can no longer be makdish it or sell it because it's in my possession. And if I do if the shinoi happens, I'm konen, etc., etc. Right, and I'll remind you of the Gemara in Daf Ayin Beis in Masechet Sanhedrin, where the maskana seems to be that if I steal something and I'm also chayiv misa kinyan rabine and I don't have to pay back, I can just keep it. You know, Gazla really does have some latent Kenyan going on here. So it helps you the Gazla that is Kenyan. And therefore they're Chayim. It's Mamoncha. It's Mamona. But Hotziyola Avda, they're terrible people. And they might be just as irresponsible, and they might have been goring for it to damage just as much, but they didn't murder Kona at all. They just were trying to destroy it. They wanted it to go and get lost someplace. They were not trying to be Kona anything. And therefore, they have no Mamoncha. This works very well for Rashi. So here, what about Hotziuha Listim? Kidei La'abdo. Kidei La'abdo says the Yerushalmi. They are Peturim. Which makes a lot of sense because they don't have any Kenyan on it. And I think Rashi would agree with Yerushalmi. I can't prove to you that Rashi would agree with Yerushalmi, but I think Rashi would agree with Yerushalmi because Rashi insists that he's only chayav to the Kenyan Mashiach. Let's say Hotzi Uha Kidei Legozla. Look, put Rashi. I'll put Rashi like this. Right. Rashi would probably agree because you're only chayav if you did kinyan mashicha, and if you intended to like get lost, that's probably you start in the kinyan mashicha. You don't ask for kinyan mashicha. Here, the Tosfos are not so clear, right? There are some, many Rishonim assume we accept the Yerushalmi. There are some Bali Tosfos who question whether or not we accept the Yerushalmi, specifically in the Tosfos Shantz, as I mentioned, the Shidim Gubetzes in Bava Kamma. Yeah, this is only the first half of Bava Kamma. This Kovetz is pretty good, because I said the first six Prakim are all about our topic. So the Shidim Gubetzes there quotes the Tosfos Shantz, and the Tosfos Shantz, at least here, he doesn't say, oh, we totally reject the Yerushalmi. But he does, the Tosfos Shantz at least does say that he's Mesopak. Imari Shikshigul Lotzia become on his Gzela, Knokal Yerushalmi. The Imari Bikishola Abdavalo become on his Gzela. Right? He's not sure whether we agree with the Yerushalmi or not. He's Mesopak whether or not we agree with the Yerushalmi. The Tosfos Talmud Rabbeinu Tam there also quotes the Yerushalmi, and he says he doesn't think that way. Lo shnal figula gozla, lo shnal la'abda. He doesn't think that is true. So here, at least some Bali Tosfos, meaning Tosfos Talmud Rabbeinu Tam, and Tosfos Shantz is Mesopak, say, no, they're chayav, even almost la'avda. We don't agree with Yerushalmi, which makes a lot of sense according to Tosfos. What do you mean? Who cares why I took it out? Lamaisa was in someone's barn. I hid it. I actually did something to it. Right? I didn't just indirectly cause it to go out. I hid it or pulled it and made it go out. So I'm equally responsible, regardless of whether I was planning to steal it or planning to just let it wander off.
Can you say if it was hutzi or la'avda, then it's not shoyas and alecha anymore? Meaning they're chayav to steal, but why can't Tosfos just...
So Tosfos himself agrees with Yerushalmi. Tosfos printed Tosfos, and Tosfos himself, the printed Tosfos, agrees with the Yerushalmi, and then he never actually says what's the difference in... Well, he does. He doesn't ask it that way, but he explains that, basically, Gazla nichnas tachas habaylim for shmira. And here it gets a little tricky. Certainly his first answer says, because the gazlan is shmiras alecha. Why? Because he took it away from the owners and they can't guard it anymore, so he has to guard it. He doesn't explain, so what if I just brought it to get lost? I also took away from the owners and they can't guard it, so shouldn't I have to guard it? So Tosfos doesn't fully explain why he thinks that you're more responsible to watch if you're to your legozla than if you're to your la'avda, at least in his first answer. His second answer already leans a little more towards Rashi. The one place Tosfos leans towards Rashi. He says, well, if you steal something, then you're more like a Bailam. But Tosfos, so here we will say Tosfos does not fully explain himself. We'll leave that a little bit Tzarech Ion. So he needs more Ion why Tosfos paskind like the Yerushalmi, especially since he does give one hesber, which I don't fully understand, which is that, but keep in mind, his hesber, at least his first hesber, is still in the Lashon of Shemos Alecha, not Bailos. He says, Svaruhu de Gazla nechlitach la Bailim, kev chahotu mishla Bailim, shechayav mishmirasa, veina Bailim chom l'shomra, lefi niklo mehem, yeshla Gazla in l'shomra. Dili Nezikin, ikru Bailim kom mishla v'yadu l'shomra. Says, no, for Nezikin, whoever can guard it is... like a Bailam is responsible, and after all, if they took it away from the owner can't guard it, they should guard it. He hasn't fully explained why there's a difference between Amanas that goes on Amanas la'avda, so I'm leaving Tosfos here a little bit with Tzarech Ion, but definitely the main thrust of Tosfos and Rashi throughout the Masechet is exceedingly clear, and I think the Yerushalmi has a side here, that they're arguing about whether you're only responsible for ownership, what you only pay because of ownership, Rashi, or, and even though that becomes a bit of crazy coolas sometimes. Maybe coolas that make some of us uncomfortable sometimes. Really? If Reuben burns Shimon's house down with Levi's coals, he's Potter according to Ish Lakish. Really? Again, the answer is yes. Really? Sounds a little weird, but yes. Really, if I take a stone from a junkyard and I roll it into Rosh Hasharabim on purpose, but I never do Hagbad, I never Kona, I'm Potter when someone trips on it? Yes. Rashi thinks yes. That's life. Well, Tosfos thinks no. Shmiras Alecha obviously gets tricky, and here we see it gets tricky. How do we know if you're not an owner when it's Shmiras Alecha, when it isn't? That's what Tosfos is struggling with, right? How do we know when you're involved enough that you're expected to be Shomer and when you are not involved enough? So Tosfos says, well, also, if you create the situation, if you prevent the owner from being Shomer, then you're expected to take over. You have to figure out each case. But Rashi and Tosfos are very different Ashkafas on this. Okay, that's the facts.
How does Tosfos relate to the requirement of Shor Ish also? Besides Mamoncha, you also needed the definition of the Shor itself that it belongs to. Like a Shor Shel Hefker would be Potter.
Maybe. I mean,
maybe. All right.
The Gemara says it's Potter. It's only the 20th century Aharon who turned it into a maybe, perhaps. But how would Tosfos relate to that? Tosfos would say, no, it's not a separate requirement. Well, okay, I can say something now, but you'll get me soon. Don't say it's not a separate requirement of a chalos shor-ish. It's just that there has to be a person, Shmira San Alecha, otherwise nothing to talk about, right? Shor Hefker is Potter, because it's Shmira wasn't on anybody. Shmira can only be on someone if, but Tosfos says shor-ish doesn't have to mean that it was owned by someone. It could just mean that there was someone who was responsible for it. Who says it has to be owned by someone? Maybe just someone was responsible for it. That's what Tosfos would say.
So there's a middle there, in other words.
Yeah, like I said, Shmira San Alecha, you have to have a reason Shmira San Alecha, right? The Shmira of someone's pit bull in China is not on me. I have to be connected to it. I just don't have to own it. Yeah, give me a second. Now, the question is, what underlies this? The question is, what are Rashi and Tosfos really arguing about? Right? Why does Rashi think Mamoncha? And why does Tosfos think Shmiras and Alecha? I'm Rashi thinks Mamoncha, ooh, Shmiras and Alecha, right? If it's my Mamon, but I can't be Shomer it, then I'm not responsible. Or better yet, if my Mamon and I watch Shomer as best I can, I'm not responsible. We'll come back to that. So what's the yesod of the machlokas here? So here, you could take it in a more boring way, or in a more mechonish way. And I'm not sure which is right. Here's the question is, and this is, I don't know, my part two or something, three, whatever it is. Right, what is the mechayev? What is mechayev me in paying for damages that my objects do? There's actually found something interesting. In 1 second. I thought I brought something. Maybe I didn't. Here it is. Well, Bli Neder get to this later, but based on, we're probably familiar. It's a very famous yeshiva shemakor. The Nimuka Yosef on the Sugi of Isha Mishim Chitzav says, why are you allowed to light Shabbos candles? If we paskin, it's as if you did it. Besides the fact that it's Nizkei Mamon, that if I light Shabbos candles, they burn on Shabbos, as if I'm lighting a fire on Shabbos. Okay, this was actually the historians have discovered. This is a big historical issue. We know one of the fundamental, most famous machlokes in the Karaites and us, right? We're called Rabbinites, by the way. The opposite of a Karaite is a Rabbinite. We don't use that word so much nowadays, because it's just a regular Jew. To the Karaites and the Rabbinites back in the day was Shabbos candles, right? The Karaites said, it's called Shabbos to have lights burning on Shabbos. And we said that, no, you're not allowed to light it on Shabbos, but you can leave it burning on Shabbos, and that's exactly the mitzvah of Shabbos candles, to light it before Shabbos. Okay, so interestingly, the Karaites didn't just rely on Los Vareis, B'chol Moshe Seichel Miyom HaShabbos, because they knew. They said it their way, and we said it our way. They brought rayas from Eish. They said, look, the Avnezikin of Eish, right? Whatever that Eish burns, it's as if you lit it. So that shows that if you leave something burning, it's like you're lighting fires all Shabbos.
And Rav Sadigon wrote a little pamphlet, Maimer Ner Shabbos, about explaining why the Karaites are wrong, and really you are allowed to, not only allowed to, but supposed to light Shabbos candles. And we have some fragments of it, left. And in that, he says very, very strongly, they think, because they're chaya for what you burn with your fire, that shows that whatever burns, if you're doing malacha. No. Shalochi because of onesh al shapalus havara. The Torah is not punishing you for, and here is clearly being like Rishlakish, the Torah is not punishing you for doing the fire, for doing the lighting, for burning. Ela al shalopal sashmira. You're not chayiv for what you did. You're chayiv for what you didn't do. Right? The chayiv is not because you burned something. The chayiv is because you didn't, and I'm not interested in that main part of Rasad Yigon right now, that the chayiv is that. When we get to it, Yosef, we'll see. The chayiv, but what is the chayiv for? The chayiv is al shalo pal es hashmira, that you didn't guard. It's dom la sha'omer Torah b'shor v'lo yishmerenu v'bor v'lo yichasenu. Hekesh, he doesn't mean the meat of hekesh. Technically, he means similar. Right? You're not chayiv in a boar for damaging. You're chayiv for not covering it. You're not chayiv in an axe for goring. You're chayiv for lo yishmerenu, for not guarding your axe. Likewise, even though it doesn't say those words by fire, the hekesh, it's all in the same, it's all paragraphs, psukim right after one another in Parshas Mishpatim. You're chayav for lack of shmira. You're chayav for lack of shmira. Ulfima shabiyarti beparshat ve'ilam ishpatim k'shem sh'anash ishbala shor ishbala bor shlo osu es hashmira k'inen ishbala esh al shlo osa es hashmira. That is Rav Sad Yigon in fragments that survived from his book against the Karaites about Ner Shabbos, which were published in some obscure book and quoted in some slightly less obscure journal. In journal Sinai. Some people might have actually heard of that journal. But I don't, it doesn't say here on my printout what year it was. Okay, let me show you. Rav Kasher also quotes it, and someone told me it was in the Otzer Gaonim, but couldn't find it. So that's a very, very clear formulation. You're chayav for what you didn't do. You're chayav for not guarding. Obviously, what does that remind us of? Who else is chayav for not guarding? A shomer. I'm a different case, right? Like a shomer sachar, shomer chinam, etc. is chayav for not guarding it. That means chayav if it gets damaged, not if it damages. The question is, why am I or my shomer chayav if something damaged something? Because I didn't guard it. I didn't guard the shor, the bor, the hever, so I am chayav. That's very, very clear. I'm chayav for my lack of shmira. And that seems to be the posh up shot. What am I chayav for? I'm chayav for lack of shmira, because after all, what does our Mishnah say? Ushmi rasan alecha. Whether it says mamon or not, it definitely says shmi rasan alecha. So it sounds like maybe I have a chiv shmira. If I am not shomer, I'm chayav for my lack, for my pshia bishmi rasan. And likewise, the... What? Exactly. The Mishnah on Daf Tet Amud Bet, or Tes Amud Beis, or both, it says at the end, when it sort of summarizes the halakha, Kol Shechavti, the beginning of that Mishnah, Kol Shechavti Bishmiraso, Charti is Nizko. So it's something as Chavti Bishmiraso, right? Now, I'm Chayiv to be Shomer. Whenever I'm Chayiv to be Shomer, Charti is Nizko. Sounds like the Iker is the Chiv Shmira. And that worked as Rav Sad Yigon points out, he's talking about Eish, where it's not in the Pasuk. But it is in the Pasuk by Shor, v'lo yishmerenu v'alav. It is in the Pasuk by Bor, v'lo yichasenu. Right? Which is either Shomer or Bor. So it's reasonable to say, my chiyav is for the lack of Shmira. Right? There are two places in the Torah, right? Chayav for lack of Shmira. Shomer chinam, Shomer sachar is chayav for not being Shomer, the thing that got damaged. And it means Kimam, and I'm chayiv for not being shomer the thing that did, that perpetrated the damage.
Shomer is also chayiv that shouldn't be
correct. Massive. Correct. Correct. Nechtun tach zabaylam, and maybe we'll get to that in a moment. Okay, so that is, I think, the pashup shot. Rashi certainly is, seems clearly like Rav Saadia Gaon, at least in the first pshat he quotes there. Rashi says, "Kolomar im hizik in davtes hechshart zimanti also hezek shalosh shemart of yafeh." Since I didn't guard it, I caused that hezek. Hechshart is this good means I caused the hezek, and therefore why I'm chayver causing the hezek by not guarding it. Kach matzasi, that's what he found. But lishna karina b'shimori, but as Rebbe says, as it means I have to pay for the hezek. So let's just ask a simple question. What is the mechayev? What is the mechayev? So, I think the pashtos of the Mishnayos in the beginning of the Masechet, Shmirasin Alecha Chati B'Shmirasin, they focus on the Shmira, and Rav Saadia Gaon, who says very clear, I'm chayav for what I didn't do. And I'm pretty sure at least the pshat that Rashi heard, right? The kach matzasi, that Rashi found a pshat that says, if I didn't guard it, it's I have caused the nezek. Meaning, I think the perush shirashi matzah b'daf testament beis says the lack of Shmira. I'm chayiv for the lack of Shmira. And that, I think, is the pashut pshat. I'm chayiv for the lack of Shmira. Now, what could we say? We could say, and Rashi and Tosos could both be within that. Right? So one derech is, here let's say derech 1 or A, in the machlokes Rashi and Tosos, is that here Rashi and Tosos are both saying I'm chayiv for my lack of shmira. The question is, I'm only chayiv for lack of shmira if I had a chayiv shmira. Who has a chayiv shmira? Who did the Torah put a chayiv shmira on? After all, you and I don't put a chayiv shmira on anyone. The Torah does, right? Who did the Torah put a shmira on? Rashi says the Torah only imposed chayiv shmira on a bailim. You're chayiv for the lack of shmira. The Torah only imposed chayiv shmira on a bailim. And Tosa says no. The Torah imposed chiyuv shmira on the responsible party, whether he's the bailam or not. In which case, Rashi and Tosfos are then having a very technical machlokas, right? They're saying, look, we know how the chayiv works. You're supposed to be shomer. If you're not shomer, you're chayiv for not being shomer, like Rav Saadia Gaon said. The question is, who is supposed to be shomer? That gets very tricky. And like I said, if my neighbor has a pit bull, I don't have to be shomer. It's not my problem. So whose problem is it? So Rashi says, you know what? I know it's going to seem a little unfair at times, but the first draw the line someplace. Go figure out who's responsible shomer what. Everyone's responsible for everything. You know, it'll be, it's creating the number self. How do you know who's responsible for anything? So the Torah made a little plug. The owner's responsible, the non-owner's not responsible. That way, it's a clear rule. And Tosfos says, no, the Torah made a little more complicated rule. I know it's going to be complicated to apply. Torah said, no, whoever's responsible for this situation is chayiv in shmira.
What about a formal shomer?
What? A formal shomer is for sure chayiv in shomer, shmira l'kuli alma. Just for Tosos, it's obvious why he's chayiv in shmira, because he's right. The person responsible. For Rashi, why is a shomer chayiv in shmira? For Rashi, you have to say a shomer is chayiv in shmira, because he took upon himself the bailim's obligation of shmira. He made a contract with the bailim to take over his bailus lingus shmira, to be a shomer. Therefore, for Rashi, I would say, the shomer's responsible as a shliach of the bailim, as an extension of the bailim. And for Tosos, the shomer's responsible just intuitively. There are those who want to say, like, by the way, the chakira that we haven't totally said yet, but this is a big discussion in the Achronim, and there are those who even want to suggest more radical things like, maybe, according to Rashi, at least, the next way we'll say Rashi, really the Bailam's responsible, just the Shomer has to pay the Bailam back, so we skip the middleman. That's very radical. I'm not sure I'm going to go that far. Okay, so this is one direction. But,
why is what
Pashut?
I To me, the other side seems more Pashas than this side.
Okay, I didn't say Pasha Misvara. I said Pasha the Mishnah, because the Mishnah keeps talking about Shmira, Shmira, Shmira. Okay, that's Seder. Okay, certain things ain't litvakeach. Okay, the other possibility, and this is the Chakira, which is made famous, I know, when by all the 20th century Achronim. So I went to Gush. So in Gush, the beginning of Bava Kamma, they always quote this Chakira from the first Evan Azal and Helch Niske Mamon, but that's just because that was Rebbe Tanavatel's grandfather. A grandfather, so they always quoted him. But all the Achronim from the sort of half-generation after Rechaim have this Chakira. You could say it's because of a lack of Shmira, or you could say no. What is not because of my lack of Shmira, because of the Maisa Hezek done by the Shor, Bor, or Ish, done by the object. Maybe I'm not chayev for my lack of Shmira. I am chayev for the Maisa Hezek done by that object. So what does Shmira have to do with everything? Joel?
A Shmira would just exempt.
Shmira is a p'tur. And why did the Torah say lo yishmen and ba'alav? The Torah says lo yishmen is a p'tur. You might think you have unlimited liability. You might think bor shor v'eish is mu'ad li'ola. Right? Unlimited liability, like according to the Ramban and others, other mu'ad is unlimited liability, even if he guarded himself. No, so, and Shmira is a poter. Shmira is poter. It's the Maisa Hezek that's Machayev. Shmira, it poters me, but the Maisa Hezek is the Mazik is Machayev me. The fact that when the Shor gored someone, that's Machayev me. When the fire burned someone, when the boar tripped someone, that's what's Mechayev. What about Shmira? Shmira the Hezek, and then you have to be a little Nidchak in Mishnayis, Ushmiras and Alecha, meaning there's a Ptur. These are all things that could be guarded, and there's a Ptur if I did guard them, and there's no Ptur if I didn't guard them, called Shachatim Ushmiras, so means I should have guarded them. There are those, although this is far from Mochrach, but there are those who want to be medayik this in the Rambam. Because the Rambam, how does he start out Hilchas Niske Mamon? Right, exactly. The Rambam starts at Hilchas Niske Mamon. You know, it's always hard to tell, because on the one hand, you know, it's not Mefurish, it's just a Diakonic formulation. On the other hand, the medayik in the Rambam's formulation. That makes the Rambam the Rambam. The Kol Nefesh Chayishi Rishusha Shal Adam Shizika. Any animal that's in my possession that's mazik, the owner has to pay. Why? Because their mama was mazik. He doesn't say, obviously later he's going to talk about Shmira. Right? He knows there's Mishnayis about Shmira. He knows that if you're noble fun of Karo, you're Pater, the first Mishnah in Akonis. But he doesn't introduce that. He says, Shari Mono Hezek. Shinemar Kigav Shor Ishishoriyehu. Echad Ashor, etc., etc., Kamam Shalim, etc., 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 etc. Much, much, much later, he gets into the idea that Shmira might make a difference. Right? But the Rambam perhaps sounds like Diyuk Lashon HaRambam Reish Helchas Nizke Mamon. Sounds like, no, I'm chayiv because my mama was mazik. And that's why the Evan Azal right there starts this chakira. See, notice this lashon of the Rambam. What about lo yishmen ba'alav? No, so there's a tnai. There's a p'tur. If I'm shomer, I can get out of it. After all, the onus rak on a patri. There's different level of onus. For some things, only if there's an onus gomer, my potter. The Torah is mechadesh here. Even if I did a decent shmira and had a little bit of an onus on potter. Because, after all, what does it mean? If I did shmira and have it anyway, then it was a little bit of an onus. So it's an expanded onus rak on a patri. Right? As long as I did a reasonable shmira and then something unexpected, curveball came and made the dangerous situation, I am potter. So here we have this chakira. Within this chakira, of course, the way to analyze the machlok is Rashi and Tosos, then say it's very fundamental, is no, this is goof for the machlok is Rashi and Tosos. Tosos says the mechayev is lack of shmira. So what does that have to do with ownership? The mechayev is lack of shmira. While Rashi says, No, it's not that I agree with you what the Machayev is. I just have technical differences in terms of when that Machayev comes into play. No, this is the fundamental way of analyzing Machlok is Rashi and Tosos. Right? That Rashi says no. The Machayev is the Maisa Hezek done by my property. Of course, if the Maisa Hezek is done by son, it's not my property, why would I be Chayev? I'm Chayev for the Maisa Hezek of my property. I'm not Chayev for the Maisa Hezek of someone else's property.
Can you say that the Rashi has two deyot that in the Daf Tet Amud Bet?
Correct. You could say that Rashi has two deyot about this in Daf Tet Amud Bet. It's unclear. I would tend to lean say he himself personally sounds more like he's agreeing with the second one, which works well for us. Because he has Kachmat Sasi, and this is Mipi Mori. This is what I found, and this is what I learned from my Rebbe. So I'd assume what he learned from his Rebbe is better than what he found. But now, and if this is a Chakira, so the some of the modern, the or 20th century Achronim suggest, there could be a Nafkamina in this Chakira besides Machlokes Rashi Tosfos. There's just a few Nafkaminas. If you look through all of the Achronim, some of them are even very clever. Like, for example, what if someone, I saw this someplace, but don't ask me where, what if someone wanted to lock his ox in the barn right before cell phones, so he can't call anyone to help him. He wanted to lock his ox in the barn, but he got sick and couldn't leave his bed, and he had no telephone, couldn't call anyone else. So he tried really hard to lock his, to guard his ox, but he got sick and he couldn't. So they say, maybe if you say the Machayev is the lack of Shmira, is the Pshia, you did something wrong, here you didn't do anything wrong, you shouldn't be Chayev. But if you say no, he's Chayev what his Mammon does. Unless there's a Ptur called Shmira, here there's no Shmira, there's no Ptur. Okay, unless you say there's a Ptur of Onus anyway, which is why it's not necessarily such a great Nafkamina.
At which stage did he get sick? He got the ox, he put it in the barn, and then he just didn't lock it?
Let's assume we can make it work out. Right? Let's assume we can make it work out. Give me half a second.
Let me ask a question. Yeah. According to Rashi and the Rambam, the Havamin of Mavra makes more sense than it could be other Hamas.
Correct, but again, this might depend on what we mean by other Shgufa Olav and whether there's Svei Dinim and other or not, which we'll get to. Maybe a sleeping Adam is really not an Adam, right? I'm not going to call to Arkula, but you know the Machlokes we've shown him, whether a sleeping person counts for a minion, whether he's considered to be a bardas or not. Okay, but not for now. The famous Rosh Shlomo Zalman with Sleeping Chayim and Mitzvos. If we have this Chakira then, here we have a Chakira, Nafkamina, one is maybe Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, not just a technical Machlokes. About where to draw the line someplace. No, they're arguing about what's the Machayev. Is Machayev my lack of Shmir, or is the Machayev the action that the animal did? In which case, it's my animal is part of me. Someone else's animal is not part of me. I don't care that I was irresponsible. I care whether it's me that did it, me and my property that did it, or something else that did it. So it's a matter of whether I was responsible, or it's a matter of whether me, broadly defined, to include my property, right? Basically, which is what's making me, my property is part of me, did it. The other nafkamina could be this machlokis. It's neither side knows it's machlokis. Bnei Yeshua didn't know that hundreds of years later the Chazanish had argued with him, and the Chazanish didn't know or didn't care that there was a Bnei Yeshua against him. But a fascinating question. What if my ox gores Elon's my ox breaks Elon's bicycle, steps on Elon's bicycle, right? Okay, your bicycle is a nice bicycle. I have no idea how much bicycles are worth. Let's say it's worth $200. You sue me for $200. It's clear that my ox broke your bicycle. 100 witnesses. We all know. I claim that, what do you mean? I locked it up properly, and then a Rosh Eina Matsuya, or Listim came. I locked it up properly, and Listim came and opened the door. Not my fault. Or I locked it up properly, and a Rosh Eina Matsuya broke the door. Not my fault. Right? And Elon claims don't give me ridiculous excuses. You know, I've heard that story before, the dog ate my homework, and v'chuli v'chuli, and all we know is that you damaged, and don't give me, what did St. Israel, don't sell me luxury. Okay, so who wins? Who wins? Says the Pnei Yeshua, who wins? I win, because the rule of... Why? What's the rule? He can't prove that I'm chayav. I mean, he can prove that my ox ate his bicycle, but he can't prove that I'm chayav, because I claim there was shmir and he claims there wasn't, and there's no evidence either way. The Chazon Ish says, no way. Right? The Chazon Ish says, no way. The, he says, well, he doesn't say no way, but he says, mashma dala bailam levarer. He says, it's mashma that, no, that I'm chayev, that Elon wins. I'm taina, this mechudish taina that I was shomer it, I have to prove it. So there's a machlokas, you mean the Pnei Yeshua, and the, I mean, this is a very lamaisidic machlokas, this can happen all the time. If I claim I was shomer and you claim I wasn't, who wins? The Pnei Yeshua claims the damager, the defendant wins because the motzi v'chol v'raya. Chazon Ish says, no, the plaintiff wins because I'm making, I have to prove my excuses. The basic facts are clear. And even though I'm a mochzak, right? He says, this is, even though I'm a mochzak, if I want to bring in a new taina, I have to prove it. Now here, there's two ways of analyzing the machlokas between the Pnei Yeshua and the Chazon Ish. There's generally two ways of analyzing machlokas. Why? Because most machlokas are about, like, what happens if X happens and Y. So they could be arguing X or Y, right? I mean, what happens if you have a new taina about Nizkei Malach? So they could be arguing about the rules of new tainas, and Nizkei Malach is just an example. Or they know what the rules of new tainas are. They're arguing about Nizkei Malach. What do I mean? You could say their machlokas has nothing to do with us. They're arguing about general rules of Besdin. Hamotzeret al Raya. Do I have to prove everything, or I only have to prove what happened? I don't have to prove that your excuses are false. Right? Because most of the other means I need a raya on the main thing, right? And that is, I have a raya on the main thing. You want to bring in excuses, I don't have to disprove all your excuses. I just have to have a raya on the main thing. I have a raya in Ramazik. Or no, most of the other means you have to prove everything. Okay, even within that, there are different ways to analyze, but not for now. So you could say that the general, this machlokas would apply to everything, right? Anytime I come and I proof against you in court and you bring a curveball, the Bnei Yeshua would say, I don't have to pay because maybe my curveball is true. How did you say, no. My basic point is proven. You can't get out of it with curveballs. That's enough of a raya. Okay, or it could be, no, their argument is Nizkei Mamon. What are they arguing about? If the damage is proven, but the shmira is not, is the machayev proven, or is the machayev not proven? Do we have a machayev with a suffic poter, or do we have a suffic machayev? According to this tzad, we have a suffic machayev. The whole machayev is lack of shmira. You haven't proven the machayev at all. So of course I'm poter, Pnei Yeshua. So maybe, here we have Nafkamina 1. Nafkamina 1 is our whole sugya. Lack of shmira, choser shmira, or maisa hezek. Nafkamina 2 is what about if you have a raya shehizik v'safek ha'im shamar. Says the Pnei Yeshua. Again, you could analyze this as having nothing to do with our sugya, just the general rules of Beis Din. Is it enough to prove the main part, or do you have to prove all the details? Okay, and even within that, you have to draw the line. But you could analyze it as, here's the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua says, what do you mean? You have a Safek Mechayev. Maybe there's a Choser Shmir, maybe there wasn't. Safek Mechayev, of course I don't have to pay. Hamos Mirnal of Haraya. Safek Mechayev, and therefore I am Potter. Maybe the Chazon Ish is on the other side. Says the Chazon Ish, no, you have a Vadai Mechayev and a Safek Poter. Whoa, you have a Vadai Mechayev and a Safek Ptur? Then that's not where I prove the Mechayev. You want a Ptur, you go prove your Ptur. Vadai Mechayev. We admit that I damaged you, my axe damaged you? Yes, we admit. You want a taina that it wasn't your fault to bring it up Torah? Okay, you want to bring it up Torah, you have to prove your Torah. And therefore, I am chayev. Now again, I can't prove, maybe they're arguing about just general procedures of court, but if we assume they're not arguing about every case in the world, they're arguing specifically about this case, then this is a great chatira for them to be arguing about. Do you have a suffik mechayev koser shmira? Or do you have a vade mechayev with a suffik Torah? Yes? Okay, so give me a second. Now, I have to figure out how much I want to go into this. What everyone who is creative in their minds, in a good way, should be thinking, of course, at some point is, well, who says that there has to be one answer to this chakira? Maybe the difference between different avos nezikin, right? Maybe, you know, bor and esh, which are not really things that you own, is like the shmira side. And maybe shor, which is like something that's a real thing that you own for a long time, is about the mamon. Or maybe bor and esh and shame and regel, which are, you know, not that anyone's trying to be mazik anything. That's the choser shmira. Well, keren, which is kind of an hazik, which someone's really like attacking, then you're chayav for the attack.
But the
Mishnah might or might not include Karen. We're not sure if the Mishnah includes Karen, right? We're not sure if the Mishnah includes Karen. And theoretically, whether or not the Mishnah includes Karen is totally on what Mav is.
The Rambam only said Rambam by two animals.
Yes, and interestingly, you know, the question is how much can you dayak? Or could you even go so far as say there's a difference between tam and everything else, and that everything else you should have guarded, because it was muad, and that's choser shmira. A short tam, no, that's just like a special chiyuv for what happened, having nothing to do with guarding, because we're expecting it anyway. I think maybe as we get the Masechta, we'll bring up all these possibilities. But let me just end with, because I don't want to go too late here, but I'll tell you, I am very tempted, though, I'm very tempted to be mechalek here between Karen and everything else, especially since I have more liberty to be mechalek in Karen and everything else, because if, according to Shmuel, that Mava is, I hope I'm getting everyone's shita right, that Mava is Shane. And let's assume we paskin like Shmuel and Divi Mamanos. So Shor is Regel, Or is Bor, Mava is Shane, Hever is Eish, Karen's not in the Mishnah. So already if Karen's not in the Mishnah, then, you know, it might be different.
The Mishnah at the end of the fourth paragraph, Machlokes Tanaim, what level of Shmuel?
Exactly, precisely. That's exactly where I was going, although I was going to make one stop first. But I thought that maybe you could say there's a difference in Karen and everything else. There's a difference in Karen and everything else. Especially since, like, Karen is really like a Maisa Hezek. Like, something's going out of being Mazik here, right? The definition of Karen. May or may not be, but at least in one place it is. Kavanos Olahazik. Okay, whether or not that defines Karen or that's just a good sign is going to be very controversial, and I have my own sheet on that. But the Karen clearly seems different. It's much more of a real mazik as opposed to just like circumstances were unfortunate. So maybe one could be chalik in Karen and other things. And then, of course, some of you bring in the Tanakh, the difference between different kinds of Karen. And where would I get this from? From the Arba Devarim that are Torah Miyata Vishmira. It's also in the end of the fourth paragraph, but I think it might be even clearer at the beginning of the sixth paragraph. But I mean the same subject. That the Gemara in the beginning of the sixth, we'll get to it, I'm not going to open it now, says that how much shmira do you need? How much shmira do you need? Do you need a shmira pechusa or shmira ma'ula? Minimal shmira or maximum shmira? Anyone perhaps learned once what's the definition of minimal and maximal shmira? How do we measure them? A minimal shmira is guards against ruach matsuya, means foreseen circumstances are taken into account. And shmira ula, maximal shmira, even unforeseen circumstances, even a rosh she'ena matsuya would not knock the fence down. So interestingly, what do we say? Bor, eish, shein, and regel, shmira pechusa is enough. But for Karen, you need shmira ula. Although it's machlokes tanoim, what about the two different kinds of Karen?
But that's interesting. For Bor Eish, Shein, and Regel, you need Shmir Bechusa. For Keren, you need Shmir Me'ula. So a whole bunch of Achronim suggest that maybe there's a Tzvei Dinim going on here. Let's see if we can squeeze it in. Whatever, it's in the second board. Maybe there's some sort of Beis Dinim. And I'll say why I think it makes sense to say Beis Dinim. You could say that when it comes to Keren, the Mechayev is the Maisa Hezek. That's a strong Maisa Hezek. Something's really going out and trying to be Mazik. Right? There's like a Kavanas Hezek there. Right? That's literally Kavanas Lahazik. When it comes to Bor, Eish, Shein, and Regel, then the Mechayev is Choser Shmira. Then the Mechayev is Choser Shmira. That's less of a Maisa Hezek. And also, more something you should guard against. It's not as if, you have an ox that all of a sudden goes wild. No, this is just, you should be careful with your things. It's the normal, routine way of the world. Why might I think that's true? Because how much shmira do you need? If the mechayev is choser shmira, you need to be a poshea mamish. Your chayev, pshia means you didn't guard at all. Then it makes sense that your only chayev, if you didn't do any shmira. Why? The mechayev is choser shmira. To be mechayev, you need a total pshia. You need to totally not do shmira. Because the default is your pater. The choser shmira makes you chayev. You need to really be a posheya. But, put in the wrong column. Give me a second. Sorry, hold on a second. Here, what I'm saying is this. That in this case, that you need pshia to be mechayev, which means that in shamar shmira pechusa, if you do a minimal shmira, you're potter. Why? Because you don't really poshay in a way that could be chayev you. When it comes to karen, you're naturally chayev. You need a ptur of shmira. Whoa! To get a ptur of shmira, you need to do a good shmira. Let's say, basically, what I'm saying is, you do an in-between shmira, that's not enough to be chayev you, but it's also not enough to be posher you. Right? So therefore, in Bor, Eishin, and Regel, you could just say Zigzer, you could say a million reasons for this difference. I'll tell you why I think this is attractive. But give me a second. In Bor, Eishin, and Regel, the default is that you're putter, you're chayev for your pshia. So you need to do a real pshia, not guard it at all. Leave the door unlocked. But in Karen, the default is your chayev. You have to come with a tiny of shmira to pot to yourself. You want to pot yourself a tiny shmira, you have to do good shmira. And therefore, you need shmira to be poter, and if you need shmira to be poter, it needs to be a good shmira. And therefore, only if you are shamar shmira me'ula, you are a poter. I know this is not a raya. The real reason I'm saying this, the raya is going to be something else. But it would be a nice pattern. The pattern would be if your pshia is the mechayev, you need a full pshia, that you weren't shomer at all. If you're chayev for the hezek, the shmira is poter, you need a full shmira. And therefore you need a shmira me'ula. Why do I think this might be true? Just because of a problem that everyone brought a very strange gemara. And, we might not get to everything, of course. But a very strange gemara that you give them a base that I noticed in the modern day Sfarim are very concerned about. If you just open the middle, you'd give them a base, which is a hay of the Ein Mishpat. And this is what almost everyone says the Gemara means. Nogach v'yachakach hektish, nogach v'yachakach hifker. Ravina Amar, before the Lamute, nogach v'yachakach hektish, nogach v'yachakach hifker, tanya v'yachachi, yesro kenam v'yehuda, filo nogach v'yachakach hektish, nogach v'yachakach hifker, potter. Right? Why does the Mishnah say only owned objects? The Chiddush is, if your ox damaged and then you were mafkir it, you're putter. If your ox damaged and you were mafkir it, you're putter. Now again, this is very counterintuitive. Right? This seems strange to us. Like, why should you be putter? Your ox gored and then you were mafkir it. Now you don't have to pay anymore? Seems a little crazy. Maybe you can say it doesn't really mean it, but it certainly seems to, and most of the Rishonim assume that it really means it. This is strange. Like, why am I putter just because I no longer own the ox when I get to court? The Gemara says that you need to own the ox of Gemara Din. If you take me to court, I no longer own the ox, I'm putter. this works better for Rashi or for Tosfos, this Gemara? Who does this Gemara work better for, Rashi or Tosfos? Rashi! If the whole chiyuv is my ownership, it's still a chiddush. I'm not saying I'm going to send it on my own. But it's a chiddush we can live with. I'm only chayiv for own it. When I own, I'm only chayiv. When you sue me, I own it. It's a chiddush. But for Tosfos, I'm chayiv for not being shomer. Who cares about Machbered afterwards? I still wasn't shomer. This is very strange. This Gemara is very strange for Tosfos' side. This Gemara is, unless you say what I just put on the board.
Is this anything about Tom?
What?
Is this anything about Tom, then?
And
special thing with Tom is
okay, so unless you say it's only talking about. Okay, you're right. Let me get back this. This Gemara and Daf Yud Gimel, all the things, this Gemara and Daf Yud Gimel is strange. It really seems like the chiyuv is because of your ownership. And therefore, only if you take him to court and you own it are you chayiv. Not because of your negligence. Why did your negligence change if you're mafker later? Unless you just want to say it's a totally stupid xeris akasav, which is hard. Even xeris akasav has to at least have some logic to it. It's not supposed to be arbitrary. So, what you can say here is, b'midayik in the Gemara, nagach. Of course, an ish and bor and shein and regal, this is totally irrelevant. But when it comes to Karen, and Karen, maybe even Tosos admits that the Machayev is Mamoncha. Maybe even Tosos admits the Machayev is Mamoncha and Karen, based on what we just put on the board. And therefore, or, as Ben points out, maybe the difference between Karen Tam and Karen Tumulad, which also fits into the Shmira. Okay, so I'll have to come back to this. I'm going to leave this just as a sort of an IOU at this point, that why do I really think I want to make Chalik in Karen and Shane Varego? And obviously Borbadesh, but even between Karen and Shane Varegel, because in Karen, the Gemara says, or at least in some kinds of Karen, your ownership is very crucial. It's all about your ownership. Well, in Shane and Regel, I would be less inclined to say that. And basically, if I said to Tosfos, you don't think ownership is important, then why in this Gemara if I'm mafker to my potter? If you don't think I ever had to own it, then why am I mafker to my potter? I never had to own it according to you, Tosfos. Tosfos might say, oh, Karen is different. Okay. The only question I didn't answer I'll briefly answer, take 2 seconds. Why am I chayiv for the Maisa Hezek done by the Shorim Bor and Eish and I need to poter? After all, I didn't do it. And here, you could take this in a less mechudish way or more mechudish way. The simple way is because my money is part of me. And therefore, I'm chayiv. My money is an extension of me. The Mechudish way, and this is made most famous by Rav Chaim Telzer. He's a Chiddush of Bakama, this is his first sim, which is very famous, where he takes this to an extreme, is that maybe it's the Shor that's Chayiv. Again, it's hard to say this for Eish, and hard to say this for Eish and Bor, but easier to say this for Shor, and especially for Karen, right, where the Shor is Mamash Rosh Harusha. Maybe it's really the shore that's chayiv. I just have to pay the chiyuv of my shore because, since it's my shore, I have to pay the chiyuv. Yavavah shore, v'yam al shore, when they take the shore to court, I have to be with it. There's a happening where I have to pay the chiyuv of my eved. So I have to pay the chiyuv. My shore is like my eved. It has its own chiyuv, but I have to pay. So here it's an interesting chakira. Is it that, like, sort of, it was part of me the whole time, or it has its own chiyuv? That's a big chiddush. Can animals have their own chiyuv, right? Are animals... Okay. The famous Ramban in Parshas Noah says that an animal is chayiv skila for ritzicha because of the avir of ritzicha. So it could be that the animal has its own chiyuv. Why would I think the animal has its own chiyuv? This Rambam... His Kimon, Perk Yud Alpha Lachesh, says something very strange. The last mocker, what did the Rambam say? But we'll have to come back to this. If a Shor Muad killed a person and damaged, it gets stoned and has to pay the damage. Says the Rambam, you first make me pay the damage, and then you kill it. What if you first judge Dinin Fashos? Says, you can't make me pay anymore. The Rambam says something very strange. If my Shor was already judged to be Niskal, then it's not mine anymore. I lose my rights over it, so you can't make me pay. I lose my rights, so you can't make me pay. So what happens?
The shore's
he says, the shore pays. We just don't kill it. We rent it out to plow until it pays the damages and let the shore pay. And therefore, if it has to plow for like 3 months in order to pay the damages, we kill it 3 months later. So this is a very strange Rambam. He said, it's not mine anymore once the shore nisko, because it's asarana. So I don't have to pay, because nogaf we are karka. But I don't pay, so the animal pays by renting itself out. So when did the animal have to pay? So the Evan also there says, no, this is not min hadin. This is just because Bezdin made a mistake. They have to make up for it and come up with a cleverer solution. Shalom min hadin. But the Netziv says very famously, he says, no, a shore is really chayiv. Even without an owner, shore hefker is really chayiv. Shore hefker is chayiv to pay from itself. A shore without an owner is chayiv to pay. A shore is chayiv to pay. If it has an owner, the owner pays. If it doesn't have the owner, the shore is chayiv to pay. A shore can really have a chiyuv. What? It's an interesting question. Maybe there's no kemen ramine for animals. But this is a tremendous chiddush. The shore has its own chiyuv. And this would be taking this to an extreme, right? Here, we could take this to an extreme, right? Really, shore equals me, or the shore is chayiv. And then the chiyuv goes to me. Okay, the shore is chayiv, chiyuv goes to me is a big chiddush. I've never said it on my own. Doesn't sound that way in most places in Shas. But there's this funny Rambam that says if the shore niskel is no longer mine, it has to plow and earn money till it pays off its debts. Which either you have to say that is Adraban and Shalom and Hadin, a special takana, but not the real din. Or like the Netziv says, no, the shore is really chayiv. That's a tremendous chiddush, giving a lot of chashivas to animals. Reminds us of the Ramban in Noah, who says an animal is really chayiv misa for
Abeira. I don't think the Rambam would really say that.
The Rambam?
No, I mean,
Anyway, tremendous chiddush, but we'll come back to some of these ideas. Okay, so this is basically an introduction to the Yesod of the Mechayiv, or at least half of it. The other half of the introduction is going to be in the next Makara sheet, if anyone wants to volunteer to pass around the next Makara sheet. What? Bleenetter, yes. So we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem on Monday. Don't worry, on Monday I can't talk as long as I do on Thursday, because we get to lunch. Don't violate the Eighth Amendment on Mondays also. But we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem on Monday. I want to discuss one other angle of the Sodos of what's going on here, and then start making our way through the very, very fascinating discussions in the Gemara.
Did you also send out your
opponent? Yeah.